All right, well, let's go.
Your host,
Reverend
Bill
M.,
brings us
The Devil's
Mischief, carnal comedy clips, netherworld novelty of numbers, brought to you by RadioFreeSatan.com. Episode number 688.
Bill M. here with The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan. Many times on The Devil's Mischief, I've done a dedication episode when a comedian I like passes away. And admittedly, it feels like I've unfortunately been doing that a lot more in recent years. It is 2024, and two comedians who have passed away since the last Devil's Mischief episode have been Bob Newhart and Martin Mull. Two American comedians known for a particularly dry type of humor, I think. I think both were famous for their acting, but they both did a lot of comedy in other forms too, so I've selected a few personal favorites from both. Some favorites that I have played on The Devil's Mischief before, and some I've never played before. I'd like to think that these two comedians need no introduction, but if there's one thing I've learned from doing The Devil's Mischief all these years, it's that there are many American comedians who are practically unknown outside of the U.S. I have had some listeners over the years tell me, for example, that The Devil's Mischief was the first time they ever heard George Carlin. So to give you an ultra-quick biography, let's start with Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart was born in 1929 and had quite a successful career in comedy, including not only television and movies, but also stand-up comedy. Starting in 1960 or thereabouts, he really becomes famous for his stand-up comedy albums, and I think was the first comedian to have a comedy album reach number one in the album charts. In the 1970s, he had a show called The Bob Newhart Show, where he played a psychiatrist. Then in the 1980s, he had another TV show called Newhart, where he played an innkeeper in Vermont. Bob Newhart had a couple of short-lived sitcoms in the 1990s, but then came to entertain another generation in the 2010s as Professor Proton on The Big Bang Theory. But he was performing stand-up comedy all the way into his 80s. I got to catch him live in 2012. He was 82 then, but still performing. And he died this past July at the age of 94. Now, Martin Mull died in July also. He died at the age of 80. I suspect a lot of people don't know Martin Mull by name, but if you saw him, you might say, oh yeah, that guy, I remember him from this movie or from that TV show. And Mull was not only a comedian, but a musician, and started off professionally as a musician and songwriter. But then he started writing and performing a musical comedy act himself. He would release albums like that and also perform his shows live. He was an opening act for a number of famous names. And near the end of the 1970s, he had a short-lived show with comedian Fred Willard called Fernwood Tonight, which was then named America Tonight. We're going to be hearing at least one clip from that show because it was short-lived, but goddamn, that show was hilarious. I urge you to look up some clips of that when you're done listening to this episode of The Devil's Mischief. That's Fernwood Tonight, numeral 2, and I think N-I-T-E. I remember how they spelled it. Anyway, onward to the 1980s. Martin Mull was in quite a few movies. He played the boss of the wife in Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton and Terry Garr. He was in the movie version of Clue, which I gotta say, I urge you to see that movie if you have not. The movie Clue. Tim Curry, Christopher Lloyd, so many others. Such a great cast. Another movie another movie that Martin Mull did was Serial, which I finally got to see recently for the first time. That's Serial with an S, not a C. But Serial is a movie that is actually on the Church of Satan suggested film list. Curiously enough, the actor who plays the psychiatrist in Serial was the same actor who played the dentist in the Bob Newhart show. He also had what I think is the most hilarious actor's name in Hollywood history. I will let you look that up on your own. But anyway, to finish up with Martin Mull, he was not only a comedian, an actor, and musician, but an accomplished artist as well. So in this episode of The Devil's Mischief, you'll hear some album tracks from both Bob Newhart and Martin Mull. Some wonderfully politically incorrect material from Mull's TV show, Fernwood Tonight. also a segment of Bob Newhart on the show Mad TV. Let's start with this 1965 track from Bob Newhart.
This is the thing, we've all gone through this. You send a suit out to the cleaners and you get back somebody else's suit. And you try it on, it doesn't fit you, you know, you're tripping over the trousers and all that. It's not a major inconvenience, but it could be, supposing Superman got got the wrong suit back from the... Now, he's got a problem. And he is sitting in his office disguised as Clark Kent, right? at the Daily Planet, right? And the phone rings. Hello, hello. Yes, yes, this is Clark Kent. The mild-mannered reporter, yes. You're holding Lois Lane, and unless we come up with $1 million by tonight, we'll never see her again. She suggested I contact a Mr. S. Yes, I know what she means. Could I put you on hold for just a minute? I have a bit of a problem. Hello, hello, B&W Cleaners. Look, this is Clark Kent and the mild-mannered reporter. Yes. I'm fine, thank you. Listen, there's been a mix-up on my suits, and I need it. I have to go out on a job right now. I'm sure it's not my suit. Look, I brought it in this morning on one-day service. Let me describe my suit to you. The cape is kind of a royal blue with white piping. And the leotards are kind of... are kind of an off blue. No, they're not my wife's. No, they're mine. I'm not married. What's that supposed to mean? Look, maybe this will help you. On the jersey, there's a kind of red S. S for Clark Kent. Yes. With an outfit like that, you wouldn't use your right initials either. Look, how would you like somebody to leap over tall buildings in a single bound and land right on your store? Look, this is very important. Would you check with the morning man? Maybe he saw it. You don't recall him laughing. Look, this is very difficult to explain. See, I sometimes fly in that suit. What do you mean, you bet I do? All right, would you check with the clerk at the plant? This is very important. Well, I have a crisis here. If you can't find it, you might tide me over with some toreadors and a blouse. How'd you like somebody to come down there and knock that silly cigar out of your mouth? Never mind how I can see it. I can see it. Look, you can't find the suit. Is that it? I have someone on hold. All right. Hello, kidnappers? Could I speak with Lois, please? Lois, baby? Listen, I don't think we're going to be able to get you out of this one, Lois.
Before we go any further, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight, or however you reacted. And right now, I'd like to do a brand new bossa nova piece for you. My newest and my favoritest. I know what you people like. You love the bossa nova. You love to go and see it. And you like to hear it as well. And you like to hear it well played. Well, I think this bossa nova piece is...
Martin, you can't sing that song. I know the song you're about to sing. You can't sing it. It's a dirty song. It's filthy, Martin. Filth. You understand what I'm saying? You want to sing a song like that, you got to clean it up. Filth. Filth, filth.
Irritated? No, I don't think so. I think just interested. So many are interested in my music. They come up and say things like, "Hey, Marty, how do you write those songs? What do you do first, words or lyrics?" And I always say yes. But in fact, the way I do it is stream of consciousness. Well, in this case, of this song, more puddle of consciousness, really. I have trouble with moving water. And when you write that way, occasionally, you will find yourself using a, we'll call it a common word, one you might see written on a wall, if you catch my drift. These words offend some people, and, well, there's a few in this song. I don't know what to do about that, because I want to play it. I'll tell you what, a heck of an idea. Why don't I just hum those words that might offend, since there's only a few, and that way you people who are a little bit more squeamish, you have nothing to be offended about. And you people who are a taste hipper, and I think you know who you are, you'll know just what I'm talking about anyway. Heck, a lot of you probably even done it. I hope you enjoy it.
Last night I took you home, and we began to You were such a only 17. Rubber shirts, leather skirts, and jars of Vaseline. From the chandelier, the three of us, hospital for life, whips and chains, great dames, your wife.
You know, I'm especially glad to have our next guest with us. I don't know if you know this gentleman. I really don't know what to say about him myself, this particular guest, except to tell you that he's Jewish. And in fact, he's a speeding Jew, actually. He was going through town this afternoon, about 5 to 10 miles over the limit. Nothing great, you know, but that's still over the limit. He got picked up, and well, the rest is history. So I'd like you to meet, please, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Morton Rose. Hope that seat's all right. I'm not sure what you're used to. Welcome very, very, very much, Morton. I guess it was just our luck that you were stopped today as you were driving through town, and it was the police chief's idea, and a pretty good one, I think, in fact, to have you on the show because, well, it occurred to him that many Fernwooders or Fernwoodians or Fernies, whatever they're calling themselves these days, have actually never seen a real live Jew before, and... And I think as your troubled, though very nice people know, it's just this kind of, I don't know, ignorance that often breeds contempt and prejudice and stereotyping. And I think we can help stop some of that by just letting them see you and see what you're all about.
That's true, Both, yes.
And it's, I think it's a service to let people know that you actually are, what should I say, harmless and just like everyone else. And I think... I think right now we can put an end to a stereotype because, as you can see, he's completely normal looking. You look just like the rest of us. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
That's right. I'm just a regular guy.
Okay. Morton, let's start right out the top here. Where do you work?
Hidden Acres Real Estate.
And, of course, you own it.
I'm a file clerk.
Sorry. It's a surprise.
May I ask you, why didn't you become a lawyer or a doctor like most of your other Jewish people?
My family was poor and they couldn't afford to send me to school.
Your family was poor?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure you're Jewish? Could have been mixed up at the hospital.
Of course he's Jewish, Chair. Tell me, Morty, if I may. Do you have a family?
Yes, I have a boy and a girl.
One each.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I think this is quite an education for any Fernwoodians who may have never seen a Jew.
Yeah. You've met Jews yourself before, though, haven't
you? Oh, definitely, yes. I've talked with them. I've had dinner with them. You name it. I know them inside and out, definitely. What tribe are you from, Mr. Rose?
What tribe?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm originally from Toledo.
Our phone lines are open now in case any of you have never had the pleasure and would like to talk to a Jewish person. We invite you to call us at 555-5624. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and dial 555-5624. Our lines are open. This should be fun.
That's how they are in Fernwood. You ask them to call and they call.
Yeah. Someone was sitting right on the phone there. That's great. Hello, talk to a Jew. You're on the air.
Is this the Jew?
No. No, this is Barth Gimbel. The Jew is sitting beside me to my right. Would you like to talk to him?
No, it's okay. I'll talk to you and you can give him this message.
Glad
to. I'd like to know when Barbara Streisand's next movie will be out.
Okay, you heard that over the speaker here, so okay, you can go right ahead.
Well, I don't know, but I'd like to see it myself, though. I think she's very good.
You must be very proud of her.
Yes, I am.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Boy, this is popular. Hello, talk to a Jew. You're on the air.
I'd like to know why Mr. Rose isn't wearing a beanie.
You heard the question. It's about the alleged beanie, she's referring.
I think the caller's referring to the yarmulke that's usually worn on the head.
Mm-hmm.
By very religious Jews, or when we're in the synagogue.
And it's when you're in the synagogue that you wear the ones without the propeller?
Jerry!
Well, I think those hats are just darling, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, dear. So long. I guess we won't take any more here. That's plenty to start the ball rolling. I'm happy to hear our audience really liked the Talk to a Jew segment so much.
That's a popular thing.
I think so. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. Morton, really, thank you very much for making that possible and for being the very Jew we had on the show. I appreciate that very much.
So it's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Be happy to come back to Fernwood someday.
I don't think that'd be necessary. Actually, we'll be right back after these important words. Stay with us, okay?
Satansplain, Satanic Talk with Church of Satan Magister Bill M.
Well, it's not Satan worship, it's Satanism. It's embracing the life-enriching things which have traditionally been given the devil's name. Pride, lust, earthly success, rational self-interest, atheism, humor, nonconformity, science, a passion for living, being selective about whom we love. We don't see these as shameful sins, but empowering ideals. And we also recognize the psychological power and fun of symbolism and aesthetics, so we utilize Satan as mythology's most fitting mascot for what we're about.
Listen to Satansplain. Learn more at satansplain.com.
Bill M. here with the Devil's Mischief. Visit the official website of the show at devilsmischief.com. You can also email me. bill@devilsmischief.com is the email address. Admittedly, I got a glitch with my website provider because at the time of this recording, if you try going to devilsmischief.com, at least in my browser, it says the site is insecure. When it should not say that, the HTTPS should be working fine. Oh well, that's something I'll have to go figure out with my provider. Satansplain is the other podcast I do. You can learn more about that on that show's website, satansplain.com, satanplain.com. Now, Satan's Blade admittedly is not part of Radio Free Satan, but there are other things to listen to on Radio Free Satan besides The Devil's Mischief. You can go to RadioFreeSatan.com and hear shows like Infernal Legion, where they sit down with Satanists from the armed forces, or The Metro. Reverend Jeff is still banging that show out week after week, a nostalgic trip back to that decade of decadence in the 1980s. It's like a total environment for your eardrums. The Metro on Radio Free Satan. Even some of the shows that have gone on hiatus, you can hear a lot of those still on RadioFreeSatan.com. Now back to The Devil's Mischief. We started off with a comedy clip from Bob Newhart, then some music from Martin Mull, and some politically incorrect stuff from Martin Mull as well. In fact, I'm going to throw in some more politically incorrect stuff in this upcoming block. Starting with a live bootleg clip from Bob Newhart. I apologize for the low quality, but here he is in 2012 saying how much he personally hates this whole political correctness thing.
See, the whole politically correct thing, it's just so dumb. It's just so stupid. Men are funny, women are funny, gays are funny, straights are funny. You know, it's just, we're funny, you know, and like, for instance, I'm 3/4 Irish, 1/4 German, which would make me a very meticulous drunk. And I'm pretty sure the humor comes from the Irish side, because as you know, the Germans have never been known, you know, as one of the great fun races of all time. And Germans don't get our humor at all, because a lot of American humor is perverse. And that's totally lost on a German. Like, I mean, you could have a German tourist here in the summertime. Yes, I don't normally talk to strangers, but something has been bothering my wife and myself, and we were hoping that possibly you could clear it up for us. Your friend Tiny over there, he weighs over 350 pounds. And Curly has no hair at all. It is. We took the family years ago to Ireland, and Ireland is a beautiful country. If you ever get a chance to go, it's just gorgeous. But it's interesting, being a comedian and going to Ireland, Irish humor falls into like three categories. Only three categories. The joke is either about the church, a drinking, or death. Those are the three, yep, the three main areas of Irish humor. And as an example, okay, this is Patty and the mother-in-law. They fought every day for 40 years, and she dies. She's 85 years old. She dies, and Patty's in charge of the funeral arrangement. So they're carrying the casket out to the burial site, and there are these two poles, and Patty's telling them, okay, come here. And they start to go to the burial site, and one of the pallbearers bumps the casket against one of the poles. And you hear from inside the casket, you hear this. And they open it up, and she's alive. 85 years old. She lives 10 more years. She and Patty fight every day like cats and dogs for 10 more years. She dies. Patty, again, he's in charge of the funeral arrangements, right? So the pallbearers have the casket on their shoulders, and Patty says, mind those posts, boys.
I'm going to be doing this for you folks listening at home. You hear all those laughs? Isn't that great? You know why they're laughing. What I'm using here is my ukulele, which was the first thing I ever owned, and a little baby bottle I used to carry around with me at that time. And see if I can get it on for you here. I remember you have to stamp your foot first. I want to remember. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I feel so bad. Lord, have mercy. Tell the truth now. Yeah.
How you call your granddaddy down on the Delta in Cleveland, Lake Erie? You tell me all about it, son, okay?
Oh.
I call him a granddad. Granddad, yeah. He's still on the end, sir. Better call him again. That ought to do it. No, he still don't answer. What are you going to do? Better call him again now. Yeah. That did it. Here he come now. He's so happy, too. He just sold a house. Here's a little tune he taught me. The words are his. I woke up this afternoon. I saw both cars were gone. I woke up this afternoon, Lord, mommy. I saw both cars were gone. I feel so low down deep inside. I threw my drink across the lawn. I feel so low down deep inside. I threw my drink. What'd you do? What'd you do now? Tell me about it. Come on, Lucille. I threw my drink across the lawn. Try to sing so soulful. Mm-hmm. It never comes out that well. If I should ever get anemia, it wouldn't be sickle cell. The blacks are giving me the blues. I can't stand up in their high heel shoes. I spend my nights full of rhythm. It makes me sound like Randy Newman, according to this newsprint trades. Blacks are giving me the blues. I can't stand up in their high heel shoes. I spend my nights full of rhythm and blues, but all I got this black is the blues.
Dig this.
Can't do the swim on O. Can't do the monkey. Can't even do the jerk.
That's the juice.
I could never get on Soul Train. I can barely catch the train to work. Oh,
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being buried alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! None of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. And there's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook.
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Catherine?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
You have been listening to The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan. Thank you for sharing this time with me as we look back remembering Martin Mull and Bob Newhart. I'm going to leave you now with one more Bob Newhart track. These days in 2024, there's a lot of talk about AI. There are fears about AI taking over, this and that. And of course, there is the satanic take with pentagonal revisionism. But amusingly enough, here is Bob Newhart talking about the topic all the way back in 1960. He was wondering if we would reach a point where AI and robots would be taking over so many jobs, it would reach the point where some robots would have to fire other robots. Hail Bob Newhart, hail Martin Mull, hail Satan. Thank you all for listening. See you next time on The Devil's Mischief. Bye-bye.
I worked in the Army. Well, I didn't work in the Army, but I was in the Army. Who worked in the Army? I'm not letting any cats out of the bag, I don't think. And I was stationed at the Presidio in 1954, and I happened to go back a couple weeks ago, and I would duck my head into officers, you know, and I'd go like, hi, Jim, hi, Harry. And instead of Jim or Harry, there would be a giant machine there with lights on it, lights going up and down and cards dropping into slots, you know. And I had the weird feeling that the machine was about to say, hello, Bob. The really weird thing is going to be when they finally design the ultimate machine in automation, which is required to fire another machine, you know? And the one machine is ushered into the other machine's office, and the boss machine says,
sit down, machine. Your work has not been going too well, and we're going to have to let you go. This is a recorded message.
What I'm getting at is more and more jobs in the Army are being eliminated by the machine. There is one job that they will never eliminate in the Army through the machine, and that is the job of the foot soldier. And as long as they can't replace him, they're never going to be able to replace the griper. We've always had gripers. We had the griper in the Korean War, had him in World War II, in World War I, in the Civil War. And it stands to reason that we must have had gripers in the Revolutionary Army. And I thought it might be kind of interesting to imagine what a griper in the Revolutionary Army might have been like. And I think he might have been like this. You hear what Nutty George pulled last night? The dollar across Potomac, you didn't hear about that? You know, he had us out till 3 in the morning looking for the damn thing. Then we finally get back to the barracks about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what time I finally got to sleep? 5. Yeah. There's some nut flashing a light on and off in the church tower all night. Oh, and then the minute he quits, this drunk goes riding through town screaming. Oh, then, remember we were marching the other day? and I have those shoes on that are two sizes too small for me. I've been trying to turn in the quartermaster for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, I kept kind of favoring this right leg all the time, you know? And who was it? Harry had the flag and Al was blowing flute or something like that, I think, wasn't he? Finally, you know, I get back to the barracks. I'm soaking my feet. Sergeant walks in. He says, Washington caught it. He likes the idea of the limp and I should leave it in. Oh, we got some real winners on our side. What do you think of Benny? Yeah, George's friend, Benny. Yeah, Franklin, the one with the square glasses, you know? There's a real flip, boy. You've heard what he does for kicks, haven't you? Next time we have a thunderstorm, watch him. Oh, then the crowning touch. Remember, we're going across the Delaware in the boat. Ice on either side, right? Dead of the night. Who do you suppose gets up and walks to the front of the boat and stands in the front of the boat? Nutty George, sure. And then the guy in the other boat painting him. How about him?
Darn, that's the end.